This is Film Forums. We're here to inspire, encourage, and inform you the future of film. Visit film-forums.com for more. Imagine getting your SAG-AFTRA card with an appearance on Breaking Bad alongside Aaron Paul. Not bad, right? Well, that's what happened to our guest today, rising actor Sarah Minish, who actually quit acting altogether before deciding to give it another try. Sarah has since shared the screen with Nicolas Cage and can now be seen in the Netflix original Army of the Dead from writer-director Zack Snyder.
Hi there, my name is Aisha Jbeli. Welcome to Film Forums. I have with me another amazing guest today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Sarah Minnick. I am a film and television actress known for my most recent work on Army of the Dead.
Awesome. So what can you tell us about your background? How did you get into acting in the first place?
Well, I've been on camera since literally the day I was born. That was filmed. And I've always really been interested in performing. There's a background of entertainment in my family. My father was a musician and my grandmother was a ballerina. Just always loved acting and singing and dancing and putting on little productions. And so about the time that I was a teenager, I started trying to get into modeling and they said, no, you can't model because you're too short. And I said, okay, sorry. And so then my agent at the time sent me out on an acting audition for a lead role in a feature film called A Spring Break Massacre. And I ended up getting the role somehow. And from filming that specific production, I just fell in love with the process of acting. And I immediately knew that's what I wanted to do. So at that time in my life, I was very young and very confused. And I ran away from home and went to Los Angeles and acted crazy for a while and then kind of gave up on acting entirely. And about, I don't know, 3 years later, I decided that I was going to move to New Mexico, which is next to Texas and Arizona, and try to and get a college degree at the time and then maybe do acting if I thought that I was able to do so. And so finally in 2011, I booked a role on Breaking Bad with Aaron Paul. And that's how I got my SAG card. And from there, I just kept booking these little roles and trying as hard as I could. And eventually it started leading me to bigger roles. And now here I am.
Fantastic. That's quite a journey. That's really cool. It's obviously, you know, been building up, you've kind of built up momentum and connections along the way. How important would you say the connections are that you made, you know, on those small roles that you were doing?
Well, early in my career, the connections were important that I made with agents and casting directors. It wasn't so much that I was at a stage in my career where I could, or I had the tools to make connections with producers and directors, because I still wasn't really sure of myself as an actor at that point. So the way that I made connections is I routinely went into casting directors for auditions in New Mexico and did the best work that I possibly could. And then it became that I was reliable if they wanted someone who was going to bring their A game into the room, they knew they could call me in and that I would do that. And so really the connections at that stage in my career were the decision makers, were with the decision makers. And then as I've come later in my career, as I've gained more experience, now I'm starting to actually make connections with directors because I'm confident enough to know what I can and can't say to a director. I think when you initially go on set as a, you know, a young actor or an actor who's just starting out, you're really not sure what you can and can't do yet because it's, you know, what if I get in trouble? I don't want to make anybody mad. And it's a process of gaining confidence and getting to a point where you feel like you actually can make those connections.
I totally understand. Kind of leading on from that then, what would you say is kind of like the number one thing that you shouldn't do when you're on a set with a director or a producer?
Well, I guess that depends on what kind of role you have. So if you are a co-star, if you're principal and have a very small role, you are there functionally. You are there to serve a function within the script. You are not there to attempt to give your own feedback on the role. You're not there to tell the production what you think should be different or your interpretation of the character, you're there functionally. Whereas as you get to be a bigger part of the script, if you're one of the leads, there's a little bit more room for expressing your opinion, for doing a little bit of improv once in a while. Early in my career, I'll tell you a funny story. When I booked a role on a show called Longmire, I had two episodes on Longmire and I had a no-name role. I had maybe one line, two lines. I was playing a prostitute because if you're a woman in this industry with any sort of looks, you're gonna play a prostitute early in your career. That's just what happens. So I was playing a prostitute on Longmire and I decided after my two episodes were done filming that I was going to write a letter to production and tell them that they should continue my role. And I wrote this letter saying, hi, I just, you know, I have a lot of ideas for the character and I'd love to discuss it. Oh, it's so embarrassing looking back on that time. I was just so ignorant and so young. And I thought the only way that you're going to be able to do anything with your career is if you take risks and you speak up. And ooh, I was wrong. I think fortunately what happened in that instance is that the office production team, they probably saw the email and trashed it. Thank God. Because you don't want something like that going to producers. And again, this was maybe the second year of my career. And so I was really young and really, really silly. And now I would never do something like that. So
it's good to hear those stories though, because this is the kind of thing that people kind of need to know. You know, they need to learn from your mistakes and the things like that. And you know, what you did wrong as much as what you did right. It's just amazing to hear that kind of those little stumbles that you make, you know what I mean? But you can recover from them, obviously. I mean, look at what you're doing now.
Mean a lot to me.
What the hell? Let's do it.
To the ironic twist of the unknown. Bottoms up.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh. That's nice. Yeah. All right. Let's sit back down there. There we go. Okay. Here, take these.
I'm sorry. I'm a little embarrassed.
It's okay, honey.
I'm good.
You know what? You don't look so good.
Long day.
Your skin is really cold, so we're gonna let the captain know.
No, let me just hit the head, splash some water on my face. I'll be good as gold.
Okay, all right, come on.
Okay.
Come on.
Yup.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, let's get dressed.
That's right here, right?
Yep, right there. Okay. That's it, right there.
So can you tell us a little bit about how you got this role, obviously, that you're promoting at the moment?
Sure. For Army of the Dead, I received an audition just like normal from my agent, and this was from my New Mexico agent. And so I went in for just a pre-read, a regular first-time audition with the casting director, and I did my business. You know, I did the scene. It was great. No problem. And then maybe a couple weeks later, I heard back that I had a call back in person with the director and the producer and the casting director. And so I went in and the callbacks were held at a place called Q Studios in Albuquerque, which is a very fancy new studios that Netflix just purchased. And I went in and I walked in the room and there was this huge table, very large conference table. And there was Zack Snyder and there was one of the producers and there was the casting director that was very familiar with my work and had been promoting me literally since 2011. And it was really nice because they opened the callback. Zack Snyder opened the callback just kind of talking to me. And I love those kind of callbacks because once in a while, when you do a callback with a director, they'll just talk to you. They're not even necessarily asking you to do the read. They just want to talk to you. And one time I did a callback with Jesse Eisenberg. And I remember he said to me in the callback, he goes, we just want to make sure you're not crazy. Not because of me specifically, but I guess that's what they do with actors sometimes. They just want to know like, okay, who are you? How do you act? How do you communicate? You know? Anyway, so when I was in the callback with Zack Snyder, he just talked to me for a minute. And, you know, I'm standing there and just kind of shooting the shit, as you will. And I go, so do you want to see the scene? And he goes, yeah. Let me see the scene. And so I performed the scene for him and did a little bit of buttoning on either side of the scene. And that was that. And he laughed at the end and seemed happy. And there were two other women that I was going up against, and then I got a call.
That's amazing. That's so cool. But I mean, it makes sense because they, you know, they want to get your kind of to feel out your energy and see what kind of person you are as well. I think if they're going to spend however long working with you on a set, they kind of need to know that you're going to get along and stuff like that. So that's a really important part of filmmaking and things like that. But I also wanted to ask, because I understand that you studied comms, was it? You studied communication?
I did. I have a master's degree in communication, a bachelor's degree specifically in interpersonal communication. And the reason that I did this is because when I came out to New Mexico, so let me give you a little background. I got into UCLA when I was 17 as a creative writing major. And I got in and I was prepared to go, and it had been a dream that I was pursuing for years. All through high school, I knew I was going to go to UCLA. That was the only place I applied. That's where I was going to go. And I got in and I did it. And the problem was my parents couldn't afford the tuition because it's very high. And so I couldn't go. And that was kind of what sparked me running away from home and making all of those massive mistakes. Which actually I don't think are mistakes. They're just parts of the journey. And anyway, after I did that, I took those couple years off of college because I was so devastated that I wasn't at UCLA and that the plan hadn't worked out as I had had it in my head. And so when I came or went to New Mexico, I started college at UNM and I had a choice. I said, well, you know, I really want to be doing acting. That's my dream. But at the same time, I need to get some sort of a college degree. And so my choice was really theater or communication or psychology. And I didn't really want to go into psychology because it's just, it didn't quite apply, I thought, as readily to acting as communication did. And so I ended up signing up for the communication program as opposed to the psychology program. And then the other option was theater. And I didn't really want to do theater because I was much more interested in film and television acting. So yes, to answer your question, I do have a degree in communication, and specifically that was related to the choice of wanting to go into acting.
Yeah. So what kind of ways do you use your training from comms and obviously transfer it into acting? You know, for the audience sake, I think it's really important to kind of hear the benefits of having those types of skills.
Sure. I use it for character analysis. So specifically, yeah, specifically, I look at interpersonal communication and a lot of the theoretical foundations of IPC, and specifically as well, nonverbal communication, and then persuasive communication, otherwise called persuasion, otherwise called rhetoric. And I look at those and use my knowledge, the theoretical framework and foundations that I have to understand what the script is getting at. So, you know, we have these archetypes that occur in scripts, right? We have these character archetypes. And oftentimes there's a fairly predictable pattern about how the communication will go. Sometimes we see new stuff in scripts. We see stuff that we haven't really seen before. And we're like, whoa, okay, that's a big difference. But I really think that in my script analysis, in my scene analysis, in my character analysis, I'm much more readily able to pull off of the knowledge that I have to better analyze that character.
I knew a boy once. He made it his mission in life to make me happy, though I didn't deserve it. He built me a raft. It was made out of old tires. And he called it Westward. To take me away. I often wonder what happened to that raft.
I think it gives you an amazing toolbox of skills, comms in general, whichever side of it you're coming from. And it definitely applies to acting. So it's really cool to meet someone else who's done that. That's amazing.
Yeah, I didn't know that was your background. That's so neat. Again, like you said, to meet someone else that's gone that route is always cool. And I've only met one or two other people like that.
Yeah, I honestly haven't met anyone. So yeah, this is a first for me. It's really cool. So if we were to talk about your process, when you're preparing for an audition, what kind of things do you do to prepare for an audition?
Sure. I do script analysis using a lot of Tim Phillips' work. So there's a book Tim Phillips wrote that's called Auditioning for Your Career, Not for the Part, or something like that. That's the title. And I made this spreadsheet from everything he teaches in that book about things to look at in the script. He also calls it Sherlock Holmesing the script. So I do a lot of script analysis. And then in the past year, I've been training with Leslie Kahn, who is an acting coach out of Los Angeles. And she has taught me methodology associated with living within the mindset of the character. Not quite method acting, but living within sort of the thought processes of the character. And I don't want to give too much because I think she sort of guards her secrets. But at the same time, having sort of a myriad of different techniques from which to pull in my preparation process has helped me to be able to build a more complete and fuller character. So again, script analysis, and then I work with a group who I just love of phenomenal actors. Rian Sheehy Kelly, I work with him, Joel Ezra Hebner, Alex O'Shea, and Shanae Moore. And I work with those four people on a fairly regular basis, like once a day, every day. And we all get together and we put scenes together and analyze them and work them together. And that is a big part of my process these days, working with those people.
That's really amazing. So did you guys just create your own little group, your own little kind of acting club, or did you meet them through something else?
So we all ended up signing up for Leslie Kahn's intensive back in December of 2020. And we didn't know that we were all going to connect with each other. And then it just ended up being a situation where when intensive was over and then we went to technique clinic and then we were going to be shifted into our own classes through what she calls ongoing. I sent an email to Leslie Kahn and to her scheduler. And I was like, I want to be with these people, please. And then from there, it just like our group just clicked and we're pretty tight knit. Again, we rehearse all the time together. And whenever one of us has an audition, it's like a call to action, you know, okay, I have an audition. Okay, great. We're meeting at this time. Da, 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 da. And I think that's one of the biggest benefits that in my opinion, but also my group members' opinions of training professionally with Leslie Kahn, because it brought us all together and now we're like this.
No, I think that's amazing that you've got that kind of support network of, you know, talented people who will also bring you up and encourage you to always be increasing your level, you know what I mean, and what you're putting out. I have a couple of friends that are like audition readers for me, and I just love having them. I never used to have that. And it does make such a tremendous difference when you know that you can just call on people and you're going to be ready for that audition. You know, it's great. So would you say that is, you know, a really good thing for young actors to do as well?
Yes. But I will say this, there was a time in my career where I don't think I would have been ready to have, and not necessarily not mature enough, but I don't think that I would have had the tools in my box to be able to hold a group together. And I think as you mature as an actor and as you mature as a human being, your relationships with other human beings and with friends start to make a little bit more sense. And focus changes. You know, when you're very young, you're flighty, right? Human beings are naturally sort of more flighty. Some aren't, but a lot of people are just more flighty and kind of, oh, this, oh, that. Da, 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 da. But then as you start to mature, you can really hone in on something, focus on it, and use determination and passion to go for one thing. And I was able to find a group of people similar age to me that all have that sort of drive. And the problem is that if you have a group of actors and they're in very different spots in their life, it's hard to maintain that cohesiveness.
Obviously we were talking a little bit about acting coaching as well. And again, that can be quite a big decision for an upcoming actor. How to choose an acting coach, what to look for, what to avoid, and also cost. Is there any, do you have any kind of pearls of wisdom for people who are looking for something there that's really going to concentrate on them?
I think this is one of the toughest questions because Okay, so I went for maybe the first 8 years of my career. Like, I'm not going to go to a coach. I'm not doing it. Da, da, da. You know, and I was very with that sort of, I know it sounds just complete terrible. And I'm ashamed of myself for having that viewpoint for so long, but I was like, I don't need to go to a coach. I'm not doing that. And it was silliness, right? It was silliness. And finally, when I started actually training, I realized how much I was missing. And I think as young actors, we'd all love to believe that we walk out of the womb with everything we need to be able to do this and do it well. And once in a blue moon, someone does. But I think for the rest of us, for all other actors, some sort of training is important, not just to better yourself as an actor, but to focus your attentions and focus your intentions in terms of this business. And when I sought out an acting coach, so in New Mexico, I trained with a guy named Bob Jesser. And I trained with him because he had a lot of experience. Now, there's a lot of people in New Mexico offering classes that just don't have experience, and that just doesn't make sense to me. And then in Los Angeles, once I got to Los Angeles, I had a few options. I looked up Berg. I looked up Larry Moss. I looked up Leslie Kahn. I looked up, the Stella Adler, I think it's conservatory. I looked up quite a few different places that I knew were renowned and had a lot of positive experiences from other actors. And I always said, no, I'm going to go for the best training I can. And I'll put it on a credit card if I have to, because I just want to, you know, but I realize a lot of other people are much more money conscious. So I would say if you can find an acting group that you can study with for a couple months and then switch to another group that you can study with and then switch to another group that you can study with, I think over time, gaining a myriad of different approaches might be really helpful to people when they're starting out in their career. And then as you get to another level where you maybe have the financial access to be able to work with a coach that's a little bit more expensive, it's not very hard to look up the top rated coaches in Los Angeles or the top rated coaches in New York. And I actually approached Leslie Kahn three or four years before starting the study with her. So and when I first approached that particular, we'll call it conservatory, I was so terrified. I went in, she does this sort of introduction session where you have to, with her, and she gives you a scene and you have to do the scene. And from there, she decides if it's going to be appropriate for you to train in which group. And I did this first intro work session, and I was at a place in my life where I was not confident in myself yet. And I was mortified, and I was just like, and I left, and I just cried, and I was like, I can't do it. I'm not good enough. I'm not there, you know? And then finally, after a few years of training with someone on a smaller level and learning who I am and being okay with myself as an individual, I was like, psh, you know, and I just went and did it. And now I love it, and I'm right at home. And again, I can't stress enough that different people work with different coaches in different ways. I have some friends that prefer other types of technique to what Leslie Kahn offers, but that's just what clicked with me.
It's cool to hear your experience with that and kind of the different routes that you took. Definitely. One last question. If you were to give any advice to somebody coming up, just like, you know, one pearl of wisdom, what would it be?
Have something else. And I don't hesitate, because it's so important. If you don't have something else you can pour creative passion into, it can eat you. Acting can eat you, because there's so much rejection and there's so much having to hear somebody say no thanks or not hear anything at all, and then having to walk forward and give it 100% every single time. And so unless you have something else that you can pour creative passion into, it gets very lonely and very dark very quickly. So I recommend that people also have another creative art.
Like, could you tell us, you know, where people are going to be able to see you and what kind of things you have coming out, how people can support your journey as well as an actor?
Thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Most of the time I post on Instagram, and my Instagram handle is sarah.minnick, sarah.minnick. And then I also have a Facebook fan page, I believe, that's under Actress Sarah Minnick. And most people follow me on there, and I post pictures from set when I can, when it's allowed, and just sort of what I'm doing in my journey. Otherwise, my other art is sewing. And so I do a lot of sewing and creating of costumes. And so I post all of that there. If folks want to know what's coming out next for me, there is a feature film coming out on Netflix in October called Intrusion. And I have a great role in that. I'm very excited. So if anybody wants to tune into Netflix, I'd love to have your eyes on the film. And I always love to hear people's response and what they thought of what I did. I'm very open to improving my craft, and I love to hear people's thoughts. So bring it on.
Well, thank you so much for agreeing to be on the show, giving us your time and obviously your experience as well. It's invaluable. So thank you very much for your time.
Of course. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you.